I mean, it is an old stadium, Rich. You know,
yeah, small training room.
They don't have a lot of room there. You know?
And listen, he's not that big of a star. You know, that is the worst answer I have heard someone in management give about anything in a long, long time. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson.
Well, I'm glad that you asked that question.
Well, yeah, right. Listen, I've been wanting to tell you guys. I'm going to lie to you. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. The great Rob Bradford. He is live at the All-Star game right now. And, Rob, you know, this Roman Anthony situation, him getting sent down to basically the Sahara Desert in the middle of July, going down to Florida to rehab away from the team. You know, we talked to Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam on one of his podcasts. It almost sounded like, I don't want to say it was punitive, but it was just a way like, all right, you go deal with it down there. We're going to do what we're doing up here. What's your take on what's happening with Roman Anthony and why the team sent him away?
Yeah, I mean, you ever see Rocky IV? You ever see, you either go to Siberia to train? So you got to get away. You got to get away. You know, you got the log in the back, or maybe if you want to modernize it a little bit, Creed when he goes to the desert, you know,
sure,
in that movie.
Sure.
Where he's pulling a tire through Joshua Tree National Park or whatever.
Right.
Now, I don't think that there's a Twin Peaks in Siberia. I'm not positive. I do know that there is one in Fort Myers, as Ken can attest.
I can.
Oh, they're the best.
But you know, I think that, and all I can think of with the trainer's room thing is those old tubs, the hot tubs used to be like those old metal tubs.
Yeah.
Ted, did you have like, when you first, come on.
Yes.
Yeah, high school, it's like you're lining up for to get in that tub.
Yep.
That if you're sore, get in the tub. Oh, well, is that good? I don't know, but it's like a hot tub in a metal basket. So anyway, my point is that I don't really think that this was punitive. I think that this was, to get this guy away is going to be the best thing. Now, There's an element of, and I kind of joke about isolating him a little bit from, you know, from everything else that's going on. And, you know, I think that Chad Tracy said this, oh, you know, media asking him, I'm like, I went up to Chad. I'm like, well, I apologize for sending Roman Anthony to Fort Myers. I don't think he did it on the media other than my podcast. So I'm sorry to put the pressure on the kid, but I don't, you know, I just think that all of it is just, we got to get this guy away. And what it also tells me is that they don't think – they're not counting on him anytime soon.
Wow.
Because if you're counting on him anytime soon, you're prioritizing him on the trainer's table,
yeah,
aren't you?
Great point.
Right?
Great point.
Yeah. So and that's an issue, too, going into the trade deadline. So you can't – you don't know what you have with Roman Anthony. If you don't think you have what you have with Roman Anthony, that's a problem. Roman Anthony was supposed to be what James Wood is for the Washington Nationals. This guy who's landing at the All-Star break, hitting leadoff with 23 home runs, and you don't have that, and you don't even know when he's going to be back. So to answer your question, I just think that they thought the best course of action, just basically to get this guy on the proper track for all of it, for all the crowd, for all the noise, for all of it, then just get him down and isolated in Fort Myers, where they do have, by the way, a ton of training tables.
Well, that being said, Rob, I want you to give me your best guess. I know you don't know exactly, but give me the order of return of these four guys. Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Garrett Crochet, Trevor Story. Who's back first? Mm-hmm. Who's back latest?
I will go Story first, Meyer second, Anthony third, Crochet fourth.
Ooh.
Okay. Any possibility that Crochet doesn't come back this season?
And now, listen, I say that. I haven't talked to him in the last week or so. All I know is that when we last saw him, I don't think that he was throwing hardly at all, if any. And now we're sitting here, you know, you're, what, 3 months or a couple, 3 months away from when it was no big deal in April. It's clearly a big deal. It's a shoulder issue. You aren't throwing. So all of that lines up to he has to ramp back up even if he started today. So, yeah, I mean, I think this guy – and also, guys, let's be honest. Like, you don't want to push that guy. No matter where you are in the standings, you don't want to have that guy do something stupid just to make a run at it, especially when you actually have pitching. Pitching is part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Let me ask you this, just because it's out there. There's been talk about that Roman Anthony was having too much of a good time here in Boston. Have you heard anything about that?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, I've heard those rumors, But all I know is this. Let's listen. All I can tell you is that, like, when I see the guy, he shows up, he's worked in, like, and that's a weird thing, because we would go out to the field, and in the days leading up to when he was sent down, he was, you know, he was out fielding all the time, and he looked normal. And I think that the day that he did a podcast, he's like, yeah, I can do everything except finish swinging a bat. And that was the bizarre thing. But I know that's an easy narrative, and especially for a 22-year-old kid who is going to go out, let's be honest. Like, he's going to go out. But it's not like he's showing up. I've seen players show up an hour before when they're supposed to, or, you know, like in spring training. You know, oh, no, I should say 2 hours after they're supposed to. Like, that wasn't Roman to me. I don't really buy that too much.
Hey, Bradfo, what do you think the impact Chad Tracy has had on this team? Like, what's his imprint been, in your opinion, so far?
I think the imprint he's had is just, like, stepping back and taking things as they come and handling it really, really well. I know that that's sort of a big, broad sort of analysis, but that's what he's done. He hasn't tried to force anything. He hasn't tried to do a Bobby Valentine and reinvent the wheel and do 180 degrees. Like, he's like, okay, you know, I'm just going to, like, put out the fires. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. I think he's managed a good game. He's done a good job in that respect. He showed he's a major league manager. But I just think, more importantly, we've talked about this, guys, is that he's able to, like, just diffuse anything.
Yeah.
He's able to – there's been stuff that could come at him. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like he's like, I'm not going to talk about it, or I'm not going to just fluff it off. There's stuff like if there was – if he felt like somebody was throwing at his players, he actually said, like, oh, well, it was obvious. He was throwing at his players. He didn't back away from this. And I keep coming back to his dad, and I do think this is a very real thing. His dad was maybe the best interim – I mean, put this on your Wikipedia page – the best interim manager maybe in the history of baseball. He took over 10 games under 500 in 2009, the Rockies, and goes like 70-40 and wins manager of the year. I'm not saying that's what Chad Tracy has done, but I do think that the advice and the guidance that he's got from a guy who's been there before – has absolutely helped him. Yeah, I can't say enough nice things about him.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been saying this, is that this is a team that had every reason to mentally check out, throw in the towel. They were historically bad, and cases like that, you usually have the locker room either turn against each other or just stop caring. And he has been able to hold these guys together and have it so they haven't given up, and they played their ass off.
And guys, the thing too is that he's done it the right way, in the sense that, you know, I always say that you don't have to be a leader. To be a leader, you don't have to have a Rudy Young school speech, like get in the middle of the room. This is how we're going to do things. He's taken things as they've come. He's done it well. They started to win. And once you start to win, and once you start to show progress and results, then that's when everybody in that clubhouse listens a little harder, respects a little bit more. Because you can say that he did it in Worcester and he had these guys, but this is the major league. Now he's doing the major leagues, and I think that to do it, to have success in the major leagues like they had over the last 3 weeks, that goes a long way.
Bradford, what are the chances Fenway Park gets an All-Star game anytime soon?
Oh, I mean, 2029, right? I mean, it has to happen. I mean, everyone keeps talking about it. There's rumblings, there's murmurs. It has to happen. It was such a great event. And I know that they're having it in Wrigley next year, you know, assuming, you know, the lockout doesn't put the big sad trombone on it. But it's you know, this makes all the sense in the world. They know this. I don't believe, other than maybe Las Vegas, that they're going to say, oh, we have to have it at this new stadium. And it's just been too long. I mean, this is still one of the most iconic All-Star games there has been. So why wouldn't you want to do their perfect anniversary? Let's go. Let's do it. I don't know when they'll announce it. I don't know when they'll define it. All I know is that if they want to do things right, that's what they'll do in 2029.
Well, all I know is that they could have, it was a very good, as a matter of fact, it was better than I thought it was going to be, a home run derby. They need to somehow find a way to shave an hour off of that thing. It was so long. It was a great ending.
Always a critic.
And it was a good at the beginning.
How was the Netflix? I want to know, because I don't have typed in the press box. How was the Netflix?
It wasn't good. And it's not for any reason other than it was, like, technically bad. The sound was all over the place. Like, Will Ferrell was trying to talk to Michael Buffer, and, like, neither one could hear each other. It could have been... It left a lot to be desired. I do like the new format, but they just got to shave some time off somehow. I mean, it really, you had to really be patient to get to that amazing ending there, Rob Bradford.
Yeah, and I apologize about their testing. They can never test the PA announcing more. You know, that's what they're doing here. But I'll say this, is that if you're right, you know, like, this is always a problem with the home run derby. You know, I, with all due respect to Chris Berman, like, the backpack, I couldn't do 3 hours of back. But I will say this, the image of Wilson Contreras walking into a boxing ring while taking it from the Phillies crowd.
It was great.
And then the Phillies crowd, you know, is just so unique.
Yep.
And the best way I can describe it is that it's the crowd that tries to enact their will more than any other crowd on what happens on the field. Mm-hmm. And that's what they were trying to do Wilson Contreras as he's walking into a boxing ring. So that was good.
Only a horrible human being would find it entertaining to hear that crowd booing those children in the outfield. I must be a horrible human being because that was really funny.
It was great. A fun thing is the bullpen, the visitor's bullpen is strategically, like, right underneath the crowd there.
Yeah.
If you want a good time, go out there, and they put these guys in the shoebox and let the Philly fans at them. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That part of it is such a great environment, because I've been to All-Star games where it's just like, yeah, the great game of baseball. We don't care who won, and everybody's a winner. No.
Oh, no.
Let's boo the enemy. Let's go.
No, that was, I'll have to admit, that was the best part. Hands down, the most entertaining part with those kids. One kid missed a pop-up, and the crowd goes, boo! He's like 8.
Loser.
All right, Rob Bradford, great stuff. You can check him out, obviously, at WEI.com, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, and, of course, all around Scotland wearing his kilt. Thanks. Great stuff. We'll talk to you soon again, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Real quick, because we only have a second. What's going to have to happen for Chad Tracy to get
full-time status?
Full-time. Will he have to make the playoffs? Will he have to get to the second round of the playoffs? Or not make the playoffs at all and just be impressive?
I don't think he'll get it this year. I really don't. I think with the lockout, there's just too many...
I don't think they'll give it to him this year. I think after the season's
after
over.
The season, I think they'll have to get the new labor deal done, and they'll have to, it depends what other options they have. If there's somebody else they love.
Well, the labor deal won't get done for a long time. They're not going to not have a manager until then, right?
Why would they pay a guy if they don't have to?
I think it's as simple as if he makes the playoffs, I think you got to make him the manager.
Right away?
As bad as they were? And he was able to hold these guys together with all these injuries. I've been impressed. And I don't know really how much better anybody else could do than what Chad Tracy has done so far.
Do we know what motel he's staying at? He's got a weekly motel rate, right?
Yeah, right.
He doesn't know a place to stay.
He doesn't. But I do think that if they make the playoffs after the team he was given, in the situation that it was, you got to give him the manager.
He took the team over when they were, nine games over under 500?
It was, 700. 10 and 17. 700,
okay. I mean, they possibly could make the playoffs at, you know, two games under 500 or 80 wins.
But think of how awful of a situation it was. Your two biggest names were injured. They weren't playing. Mm-hmm. And he somehow got these guys to improve. Like, individually, the play has improved, not just from guys like Durbin. The pitching's been great.
It's hard
to
quantify
time.
His impact, though, on these players.
I feel like managers don't matter that much. However, he has done some tangible things. What Rob's talking about, the AAA guys.
Yeah.
I know you're a big fan of his, Rich, and it is impressive. There's no doubt about that. I just feel like you got to be careful still that Anthony Siegler doesn't wake up and realize he's Anthony Siegler.
Right.
And this was great for a month.
Exactly.
And then,
and by the way, I think that Chad Tracy had a lot to do with Roman Anthony being sent away from the team. I think he was a depressing presence. I think having him out there and a guy that just is not getting any better and he's practicing against the wall, I think they're like, man, we've got some positive vibes going on with this team right now. Maybe you just kind of need to go away for a while until you figure it out.
Yeah, Bradfield didn't want to answer that directly, you can't tell me there was... There isn't other reasons besides baseball reasons that he was sent down there.
Maybe. Yeah, that could be the case. It definitely is sound like there's whispers and things that if we find out the full story, we're going to look back and go, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we kind of we're hinting at that the entire time. All right. 617-779-7937. There is a journalist out there. Brady is not having a very good week. Tom Brady. First, he gets accused of helping the Seahawks on them winning the Super Bowl against the Patriots this year. And now... really, honestly, one of the more disrespectful things I've heard anyone say about Tom Brady's career. Not as a person, but his career. We will get to that and get Ted's take and your take too, Ken, right after this. Oh, it is 93.7 WEEI. Good afternoon, everyone. It's Rich Sertenlieb, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson, who has won a Super Bowl 3 times. And you can call us at 617-779-7937. We love taking your calls. It's the best way to contact us. Also, the Odyssey app, you can press that microphone button and launch a take grenade, record a message, and we play it in the 5 o'clock hour. Just a quick text says, Red Sox seem like they have a bunch of grinders right now. I definitely can't imagine they want to walk around back-to-back nights and then watch their best player, so to say, or do finger exercises. I know what you're saying. I mean, I just think that the Roman Anthony thing, there could be a bunch of different reasons, but more than anything, I just get a feeling that it's bad to have a dude around who is just not getting any better. It's probably a depressing conversation that you have to show up at the park like, hey, how you feeling?
Same old, same old.
It's the worst. It is the absolute worst. If I'm Roman Anthony, I'm happy they sent me down there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Get me out of here.
Because it's just you hate.
I feel like everybody hates you.
The people are looking at you as if you could be playing.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there, a daily reminder that you're not ready, but they all think you are. So, you know what? Out of sight is out of mind, man.
And by the way, Bradford reported this, Alex Speer first on it, that the Red Sox have acquired outfielder Jamai Jones from the Tigers for a player to be named later. Now, he was DFA'd and he was having a horrible year. He was hitting 205 or something like that. But that's not a great sign for Roman Anthony. They sent Nate Eaton down. You're going out and like dumpster diving for outfielders. Like, it's another sign that we might not see Roman for a while.
Yeah, and that was the best point that Bradford made. It was like, dude, if they're sending him down to Florida, he ain't coming back anytime soon.
No, it's true. It's true. I think it's, dude, why aren't we making enough kind of noise about Garrett Crochet? I mean, like, dude. Yeah,
done for the year, basically.
Until
further notice, he's not coming back, you know?
Should we be questioning how they managed him for last year? Because it feels like last year's use is bled into this year, and there's a reason why he's not playing this year.
Well, it's so frustrating, too, because, like, Tolley, his last start, they pulled him after 3 2/3 or whatever, and it was strategic. They're like, all right, we're just doing this because you haven't thrown a lot of innings the year before. So now Bayo is the bulk starter.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what they were worried about with Crochet, and I guess they were right to be concerned because now he's going to miss a year.
Right, right.
What, yeah. I mean, you talk to Pedro Martinez about these innings lists. He's like incredulous. He's like, I don't get it. I threw 9 innings every time I was coming out there. I was throwing 130 pitches. Yeah. Like, what has happened to the
– Yeah.
Is it just that they throw so much harder and so much more spin?
That's got to be it. I think so.
He's not coming back. I the way that everyone's talking about it, and the way nobody's talking about it, makes me think he's not coming back this season.
I know. But should we be more, I don't know, scrutinizing that? Though it's just like it's.
I see what you're saying, but man, with pitchers, it's so freaking weird, and we've seen this happen before. But I'm more concentrating on this Roman Anthony thing. Because, yeah, like, I'm hearing he's high-fiving guys. Like, I mean, that's Rob Bradford was saying with his hurt hand.
He stopped doing that after you said it. He was like, oh.
I guess. But that is weird, man. It's very strange. And I just don't like how this is being handled. No, actually, I do like the fact that he's been sent down to Florida. Because I think that the team doesn't need that right now.
You realize, like, it's not like there's a lot of rehab going on with his finger. Like, it's his finger.
Yeah, it's the weirdest injury.
You're not getting a massage. You're not doing ice and stem. You're not, you know, I mean, you're just... Dude, you could basically run and lift and do a lot of other stuff. There's nothing specifically you can do to make the finger heal faster in a training room. You can't. It's just time.
Yeah. That whole situation is very weird. And that Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam report, I mean, they were like, they sounded like they were sick of him. Like, it sounded like they were sick of what was going on. And now, whether they're just sick of him not getting better, whether it's a situation where they think by this point he should be fine or whether he should play through the pain, I just believe that they don't want him around. They don't want to have to think about him. And they basically said, you come back when you're done. Enough.
Menage a trois.
What
was that? Oh, we got a goal.
Was that the sounder?
No, but that's Spain scored. He's played the wrong one. What?
That's all we got.
What? We don't have a Spanish one?
We didn't get the Spanish.
Menage a trois.
Okay, so that was just recorded. I don't even know when you recorded that. Everybody quiet for one moment. I'm going to count downstairs, and I want you to play it. Just look at my fingers. Okay, everybody.
Joie de vie, menage a trois.
That was just... I was just Ted just saying, let's do
just
French
riff it,
stuff.
Man. I don't know. We needed a sounder for, well, for France.
It's good, but you know, where's the Spanish?
Yeah, we didn't
version.
Didn't get to the Spanish
I,
one.
I don't
Spain
know.
Strikes first on a penalty.
Good.
France has trailing for the first time in the World Cup.
Mbappe might be the only player I don't like left in the World Cup. Like, for
really?
Some reason,
oh, really?
Something rubs me wrong about Mbappe.
He seems likable, no?
I don't know.
Did you just say this is the first time France has not led?
Trailed. First time, first time
they've kind of sleptwalked through the entire, not sleptwalked, like, they've been dominating. Like, they've been great. And Spain, the one thing, listen, I'm talking out of my ass here, but the one thing that I do know is that Spain probably, what I've heard, is the best defense left.
I think we need a Ken Laird Spain goal call.
Here we go, here we go. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Very good.
So you'll know when you hear that, when you hear Ted saying that, somebody scored.
Somebody scored.
It doesn't have to be Spain or it doesn't have to be France, but you'll know that there is indeed a World Cup update.
So,
nice job with Joie de Vie. That's pretty good.
You know, it's the only French I know.
Can we put like something from the Ratatouille soundtrack underneath that? Or, you know,
it's the player. We're watching the player cam, and so I didn't see the score because they don't show the all 22 version.
Right, that's the best we could do. We don't have cable yet in the new building. However, I did get you a stream at least. I mean, God.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we have the best home run derby of all time, and you guys are critical. It's too long.
You're right.
I find a way to get somehow miraculously find Tubi and get a stream of this thing.
My heart's kind of not in as much now that Holland's gone. Now that our guy from Norway is out and with his stuffed raccoon.
Taxidermy raccoon.
Taxidermy that he returned home with. My heart's not in it as much as I used to. All right. Somebody said, was he singing the Patti LaBelle song? riding on the freeway. What is that? Of love. Is that him saying that to the freeway of love? Is that what he's saying?
That was a Teddy freestyle. Teddy original.
Right. Excellent. All right. Well, we let's get to this Tom Brady disrespect thing. Tom Brady, as I said, having a weird week, a very strange week. Is he helping the Seahawks beat the Patriots? Who knows? But there is one guy who does not like him at all.
Never has.
No, never has. So we will get to this. One of the more disrespectful things I've ever heard anybody say about Tom Brady, the football player. We will get to that right after this. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. It is that Yacht Rock time of year, baby.
And it's Philly band right here.
Love this.
All-star game tonight.
And you can also listen to us on the Odyssey app as well. Did you say you're seeing the Odyssey on Thursday?
Thursday, yes.
Oh,
right,
man.
After the show.
Nothing but great reviews. It looks
really
amazing. It does. You know what I'm actually seeing tomorrow night? There is a... remember the movie Paranormal Activity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, pretty good movie. Like,
oh,
found
I'm going to
this. Yeah, so like, it's about to become a Broadway, like a thing on Broadway, but before they move it to New York, they like to do a run sometimes in Boston, and like the Emerson Colonial Theater is doing it for like a couple of weeks. I'm going tomorrow night.
Yeah, me too. I'll see you there.
Yeah, awesome. Apparently the special effects and stuff are insane.
Oh, really? Because I have not read a review.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like,
yeah,
is
so
this gonna be?
I have no idea what to expect, but the early word.
What makes that, because I think we were talking about the Blair Witch trial.
Yeah, yeah.
What makes that kind of type of movie so successful?
The found footage thing? Well, the Blair Witch one was because they did such a good job. It was the first.
I went thinking it was a real thing.
Because
there was no internet back then.
No.
Like, no one knew.
And the History Channel, this was so great. The movie studio had made a fake documentary and paid the History Channel to play it. So you see something on the History Channel, you're like, well, this is obviously real.
Right.
So people went into the theater thinking that
it was real.
Yeah. And that made it 10 times better.
It did. It made it. Dude, I was scared because I thought it was real.
Yep. Even if you knew it wasn't real, it was a well done movie. It was very scary. And Paranormal Activity was kind of like, you know, in the same vein. You know, it's like where you have house cameras all over and there's ghosts and stuff moving all around. It just seems like something kind of cool. So I'm seeing that Wednesday.
But it seems weird they would bring it back. It seemed like the first wave was the real thing. That was the zeitgeist in the moment. Now it's like people know the deal.
Well, like, you know, Cloverfield was like that. There's like a bunch of like found footage movies. Oh, I'll tell you a good one that you should see. The movie Creep. Have you guys seen Creep?
No.
Oh, Creep is great. It's about a dude who follows a Craigslist ad, and he has to go out into the woods and meet this guy by himself, and he says, hey, I'm dying of brain cancer, and I want you to film this video for my unborn son, and weird stuff happens. That's a good one. That's
it's
good.
Very, very weird.
Whatever movie. Rich suggests, it always ends with weird stuff happens.
Always.
In there somewhere.
Always. All these great movies that I've never heard of, Rich has seen. Are they really that great?
Well, I'm not going to suggest Superman.
What was the one yesterday? The Raid Redemption?
The Raid Redemption rules.
I write these down, and eventually I get to them.
But yeah. Border.
And Border is super strange, but The Raid is a straight up, like, it's one of the best action movies you'll ever see. It honestly is. I think it inspired the John Wick movies. It is a great, great, great movie. That's a good one. All right. But Tom Brady's been taking a beating. And, you know, this whole deal with the coach of the Seahawks coming out and saying that we got some help from somebody who had, what was the phrase that he used?
Conflict of interest.
Yes. And many people assume that it was Tom Brady. And then was it Zach Gelb who works in the station?
Zach Gelb talked to Mike McDonald.
Yeah.
He said, no, it's not. But
he
also
talked to Brady, though. He didn't talk to Brady.
That's true. Brady's been all quiet here.
Yep. I believe it was Brady. But somebody who's never been a fan of Tom Brady is Chris Sims. Chris Sims is the guy that I think before Tom Brady won his final three Super Bowls said that he was going to fall off a cliff. Wasn't that his big famous phrase?
That was Kellerman.
That was Kellerman.
That was Max Kellerman, yep.
That's right.
People think Chris Sims, though, believed they could win with any top 15 quarterback. He was the one who was cited as a former member of Bill Staff that. And
yeah. That's what Sims Bill was thinks. All about Belichick, thinking it was Belichick that was pulling the strings and not Brady. I don't think I was living here at the time when Chris Sims was on this team for, right? Just for training camp. I don't think he made the team but I think he was here and backed up Brady for a training camp, I think.
So Chris Sims came out with a list, and it was the top 10 quarterbacks in their prime, ranking the top 10 quarterbacks from when they were in their prime. First, let me ask you this, Ted. What year do you believe Tom Brady was in his prime?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be 2007 to 2017.
See, I would say his best year, like the one where I was like,
oh, just the 1 year?
I'm just trying to take one sample. When you visualize Tom Brady, yeah, with the Randy Moss and Welker
50
year.
50 touchdowns.
No question. I think the exact same thing. So just imagine that.
He was 30 by then. Is that the average age? Like, do you think that's prime athlete in football?
For that position, I would say. For other positions, I'd say you're starting the back nine.
Yeah. So here are Chris Sims' ranking of the top 10 quarterbacks in their prime. Let's go to number one.
Number one is Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, a little bit of a hot take.
Oh, boy.
But you knew he'd be near the top. Sure. Prime Peyton Manning was amazing. He was a fantastic quarterback. But he's number one, not Brady. All right, so obviously let's see who number two is.
Number two is Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Patrick Mahomes should also be near the top.
Mm-hmm.
So where's Tom Brady? He's got to be number three.
Number three for you in a prime years quarterback countdown list is Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that guy. No. I mean, in his prime, man. I don't know, man. In his prime. He did win three MVP awards, I think.
His one title.
I know. It's only one title, but man, in his prime.
Four MVPs, actually. Mm. Sad to admit that. He did win four.
All right. Well, listen.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Four
MVPs one time.
One Super Bowl. If that doesn't say Aaron Rodgers, what else does?
Exactly.
All right. So if you're going to give it to Aaron Rodgers, then Tom Brady's got to be number four, right?
Yeah. And number four is going to be John Elway.
Okay. Oh, I love John.
Right,
John Elway. Yeah.
Okay. Then he's got to be number five, right?
At least
number five quarterback is going to be Brett Favre.
All right, Brett. I love Brett.
The gunslinger.
Another one title guy.
Gunslinger.
Did win three MVPs, too.
Brett Favre, really?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. What does it say? How old was he when he won his last one?
When his last MVP?
Was it all with Green Bay? I'd be curious. Was there any?
Because that Vikings year.
Vikings years was insane.
Yeah, it was pretty damn good. I don't know if he won MVP, but that first year was great.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. He kind of shoved it in their face pretty good.
Oh, big time.
All right, let's go to, okay, so that was number five?
That'd be six.
Brady, come on. Brady's got to be six.
Number six is going to be Josh Allen.
Who's never won a Super Bowl. And I mean, he had five turnovers in that division round, just saying, against Denver.
Yeah, had a great playoff last year.
All right, so he's not number six, Brady's got to be seven, right?
Number seven, just ahead of Dan Marino, is
Lamar Jackson.
Okay,
this is insane.
Lamar Jackson ahead of Tom Brady. So I guess the next one's Dan Marino, then, right?
Number eight, their peak year,
Dan Marino.
Okay. All right. Dan Marino's. You know, I would probably put him in the top 10. Sure.
Yeah, for sure. Dan Marino's in the top 10.
So Fran Tarkenton is next, or what are we going?
Yeah, seriously.
Who's number nine?
Tom number nine for you is going to be Tom Brady.
Hey!
Wow. Does he give criteria on how he's picked these? Just in their prime.
It's such a bizarre, like, you know, in their
prime. I don't know.
Okay, so here's
how you make an argument for Tom Brady being nine.
Here's what he said. Yeah. This was his justification. He said, Tom Brady did get afforded the luxury, especially in his prime, in the early prime years of, we're not asking you to carry the team. Belichick is going to come up with an unbelievable defensive game plan. That's nice towards you there. He added that Brady, quote, was not going to extend plays and needed strong pass protection to thrive, unlike some of the other quarterbacks on his list who overcame difficult circumstances with sheer talent. I don't understand. First of all, why is he talking about the first three Super Bowls when that's not him in his prime?
Yeah, he went to seven other ones, Chris, after that. Just seven more.
By the way, Favre MVPs in 95, 6, and 97. Years in a row, ages 26, 27, 28.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yep.
I mean, this is a joke.
No, it's a total joke.
It's such a joke. It's almost not even worth giving the attention it deserves, other than that's obviously what he wants. And the region, Keith brought this up, is in a weird state with Brady. You almost feel like not defending him based on how weird it feels. Brady Leighton's weird. He's just an odd guy.
But here's the difference. You may not be able to defend his personal actions off the field. He's a weird-ass dude and kind of a dick. But on the field, he's a killer. He's the best of all time, unquestioned. Yeah. There's not even any kind of blurry vision of it being anybody else other than Tom Brady.
Like, his number one quarterback in his prime is Peyton Manning, who never left the pocket. So I'm thinking, well, maybe he likes guys that leave the pocket, guys that are athletes. Okay,
he'll put Mike Vick in there or something like that.
Right, yeah, but no, his number one quarterback is Peyton Manning, who lived 5 yards behind the center.
Right.
Which is where Tom lived. So, wait a minute. You can't... Peyton Manning's ball was like not a tight spiral. I mean, he got it done. It was a very simple system. Mm-hmm. They played 11 personnel. They didn't motion a lot. Dude, Tom was on another level. I'm sorry, Peyton. Love you, bro. Love you. 7-1 against you. Love you. You're a great quarterback. But the two styles, you can compare the two styles because they're both pocket. And to have them eight players apart is ridiculous.
Is it a hot take that I would put Mahomes ahead of Peyton on that list?
No, I don't think it's hot.
Okay.
No.
Because so, I would, if I was looking at that list, I would go Brady, Mahomes. Oh, I probably Peyton third. I got to think a little bit more. But
Mahomes won three titles. The other guys won two. I mean, that's not crazy at all. Like, yeah. You just feel like he's a better, you know, bigger winner.
I think I've seen more holy crap moments from Mahomes than I have from Peyton. Peyton's had some great ones, but Mahomes was magic.
Now, like, 14 Pro Bowls for Peyton Manning to 6 right now for Mahomes. So it's just the body
just
of work. It's the longevity is pretty amazing.
No, but I would put Mahomes ahead. Like, you're talking about in their primes, if that's the whole thing
Mahomes
about this list.
Mahomes is ahead of Peyton,
yeah,
for sure.
I would think so, too.
For sure. I mean, you know what? Peyton had really good defenses. Dude, he had Edgerrin James. He had great tight ends. He had great wide receivers. I mean, you know, Mahomes had, obviously, Travis Kelce. But Patrick Mahomes did more with less than Peyton did.
Oh, sure. And you know, listen, Brady didn't always have the best weapons.
No.
So, no. I mean, Chris Sims just hates Tom Brady. And you know what? He got our clicks. He got us talking about him. And then, once again, just like Bedard, don't, whatever you do, Christian Gonzalez, don't talk about me and let them retweet my stories. Please don't do it. Which, of course, makes him retweet it. Where's Joe Montana on that list? That's an interesting thing.
Great point.
I mean, I guess you would put
Didn't
him.
Have a prime.
Would you put him ahead of Marino? I know that he won more, obviously, but Marino's numbers were insane.
I you know what? Sorry, I have to. Yeah, four Super Bowls.
Really? Yeah. You kind of got to.
I thought you went the other way.
No, I put Marino. Yeah. I put Montana in front
Montana
of Marino.
Out of that. Yeah. Well, there you go. Somebody said you want. Who do you want other than Tom Brady as your winning quarterback? Like, if you have one game, who would you want? Like, in their prime,
right?
Anybody better than Tom Brady?
Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
No one.
No one. Sorry. None.
So, someone said Brady treated Sims poorly when Sims was on the roster there for that preseason, and that's why Sims doesn't like him. Mm-hmm. There has to be some sort of history as to why
Sims was
like
here
him.
over
2012.
Over
he was like
camp.
A coaching assistant too. He was like back as a
Tom probably blew him off. So it's a personal. It's a personal thing.
He's a Belichick buddy too, isn't he?
Oh yeah, big time. Okay. Big
well,
time.
Then that makes all the sense in the world.
When you
then.
Lost to Peyton was 2000.
Dude, it was his rookie year, 1999. Which he only think he won like three games that year, and one was we lost to him. But other than that, seven games.
Overrated.
I love how you knew that immediately.
Yeah.
Well, I would too, man. Dude, yeah. Hell yeah.
So I retired in 2005. You remember that AFC Championship game in 2005?
Yeah.
Where the Patriots had a big lead.
Yeah.
And then Peyton brought him back and stormed back and beat the Patriots in that dramatic game.
Right.
And I was just thinking, because they were hitting the tight end over the middle,
yeah,
which is right where I would have been.
Yeah.
And my boy Eric Alexander, wearing my number 52, was just toasted by the tight end. I'm like, oh, that would be me right there. Oh, I'm glad I'm not out there.
Good choice.
Oh, did you ever crack him? Did you ever get a hit on Peyton?
No.
Wow.
Really?
Because the ball came out so fast.
Yeah.
The strategy against Peyton was you do not blitz him. If anything, you drop more guys. We did a coverage I've never used before. We would drop eight guys and rush three against Peyton.
Yeah.
The longer Peyton holds the ball, the better it is for the defense because he cannot make good decisions when the ball he's still holding it after 4 seconds.
Wow.
And so if you blitz him, then the reads are easy and he gets the ball out fast. So you never blitz Peyton Manning. So I never got to sack him.
Did you ever hit anybody else on that list? Like, did you ever hit?
He almost took Dan Marino's head off. I saw.
Dude, Marino. That's right. I've seen that shot.
Are you kidding me? Any pocket quarterback. So Marino never left the pocket. They're going to blitz me up the A gaps. I think I got two or three sacks against him. And then Bledsoe. And when he went to Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
Belichick blitzing me up the A gap. I take Bledsoe down and just look at him and laugh. Dude, hey, bro, what's up? It was always against pocket quarterbacks that they sent me on the A blitz.
Any quarterback that you ever gave some extra sauce to?
I would love to have given a little extra to Brett. Mm. I did hit him not late. It was questionable. And we had a little funny exchange. But I hit Brett, but it did not go down as a sack because he got rid of the ball.
What was the funny exchange?
Oh, it's something about the Super Bowl that they beat us in 96.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just reminiscing about something like about that game.
Okay.
Yeah. Or about, you know, the...
Should have come back again, Sturger.
You got any bikes? What do you got, any bikes in your socks there? What do you got in there, man?
Taking pictures of your smart butt? You know, what are we doing here? All right, 617-779... Oh, wow, we got some calls. 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls right after this.
It's my grandma's favorite song.
It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. 617-779-7937. She actually legit liked that song. I'm not joking. She thought it was great. She had the edited version, though.
Oh, good.
She didn't know.
Yeah, that's probably good she didn't know. She doesn't need to know.
Let me violate you, like violate your heart. You know, that was probably what it was.
Right.
But she legit liked Nine Inch Nails. I thought that was kind of great. I was playing it one time, and she's like, I like this beat. I'm like, yeah, Grandma, you got freaky back in the day. It's why I'm here. Let's take your calls real quick. Before we do that, real quick, Ted, because we were just talking about Tom Brady and, you know, kind of some of the crap he's been getting lately. He did say something recently on a podcast. Where he was talking about his favorite Super Bowl of all time, the one that he thought was meant the most to him. And he said that it was the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl. And afterwards, I said, well, that just makes sense. I was like, it's to me, that was my favorite Super Bowl of the Brady era because the Atlanta one was it was too much. It was like I couldn't even so many things had to happen that it was so stressful that I didn't even realize they had won it till like a week later. It was just insane. A matter of fact, at the end of the game, remember when Belichick had to kind of go up to Brady and tell him, hey, it's over. You won. Because they didn't know whether or not James White actually got in.
Gotcha. Yeah.
There was so much you couldn't believe it was happening that you really couldn't enjoy it the way that an interception from Malcolm Butler when they should have given it to Marshawn Lynch. It was just the greatest play, in my opinion, in Super Bowl history, which means it's the greatest play in football history.
This is interesting. Let me ask you something, though.
Sure.
In 2015, after the Patriots beat the Seahawks 28-24, the game that you're referencing,
yep,
the Malcolm Butler game, did you think at that time, if you can remember how you thought back then, was Tom Brady, was there any debate who the best quarterback of all time was after that game. So that was Brady's fourth Super Bowl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He tied Montana.
That was his fourth win, right?
That's the fourth win.
The fourth win.
Correct. Sorry. So the right is what would it have been his sixth?
Yeah,
sixth Super Bowl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fourth win. Right. Was there any debate?
There probably still was.
There still was.
Because Montana was perfect. 4-0 in Super Bowl.
There you go.
Good point. Yep. So, okay. So
that's why I have it differently on my list.
Okay. After that was done, because Ken disagreed with me. He thought the Atlanta one was the best.
I actually thought the 0-1 would have been the best because it had the most numbers at the parade. If you want to go by pure numbers, there was over 3 million people at that parade. It was the
was
first.
Was it really?
Yeah. It was the most. You saw
them. I mean,
parade.
I was there, but I couldn't count them.
You were looking right at him.
According to the Globe, I don't know.
Like a million people? I mean, 3 million people. I mean, it was insane. I just didn't know how many people.
But I would have gone 0-1 first, then the 28-3 comeback, then this one third in terms of, like, meaning to the region. Just my guess. I mean, I can't speak for everybody else.
Yeah, okay.
So I wanted to know, because he put up a poll, and the Atlanta one was the one that the listeners thought was the best. Mm-hmm. As someone who's played in 3 of those during the Brady era, how do you rank those Super Bowls?
0-1, 0-3, 0-4.
Okay. In that order, 1, 2, 3.
All right. That's no fun. All right. So, but I will say this. I think the first three that we won, I think 0-1 was the best for a lot of different reasons. Dude, the second one, the 0-3 against the Panthers, underrated Super Bowl. That was. It was like 10-9 at halftime.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we ended up winning 32-29. It was kind of a semi game-winning field goal. I mean, Adam kicked the field goal. We kicked off to them, and I think they had a play or two before the clock ran out. But it's kind of like that was a hell of a game.
Yeah.
When you consider, I know the Panthers weren't like highly touted then, but look, I was at that. I was doing radio in Houston. I was living down in Houston, mm-hmm. and I did freelance work for Fox 25. And I was at that 28-3 game there in Houston against the Falcons. And I'll never forget at halftime, and it's just, it's not looking good. I just remember they told us that we probably won't even do any shots on the field after the game, that they're literally not even going to go to us.
Yeah.
And go, they're going to go into some other programming. It was like, really?
Like, it was that. Yes.
Just pretend it didn't happen.
Yes. Yeah. Like, Fox, and then all of a sudden, they went on the last play, and I'm down on the field. And I just remember that is when Brady separated himself from Montana. Like, so I look at that game
in a
historical context. To me, that's when Brady became the best all time, was after that game.
Ooh, he's convincing you, Rich. Look at that your face.
Like, there was no debate. How could you say that Montana was better after that game?
Yeah, I mean, that was Brady's statement game.
I feel like it.
Like, out of all the Super Bowls, obviously, that's the one you're going to look back and go, it's Brady's greatest moment.
I'm looking at, I guess, stuff coming across my Twitter line. Scott Pioli is in here saying, telling him, he worked for the Atlanta Falcons. Hey, everyone was laughing and joking it up at halftime, and he's like, hey, knock that crap off. We got another half to play.
Yeah.
You got the Chris Long story of where he's in the locker room, and Chris Long's like, man, I came here, I was hoping to win a Super Bowl. And I forget, one of the McCourty brothers says, hey, we got TB12. We're going to be just fine. Like, to me, that game was separated him from, like, any debate on who was the best quarterback of all time,
that's,
that game.
That's a great point. It is. To me, I think I was just looking at it as more like, which one did I enjoy the most? And it was because it was such a satisfying ending, the way that, and the Seahawks were such great villains, too. Mm-hmm. And the fact that everyone knew it was just a certainty that Marshawn Lynch was getting the ball and the game was over.
And it did end the Seattle dynasty. People were anointing them as a great thing. So talk about the reversal of fortunes.
The Patriots were so good at ruining teams when they beat them. I mean, the Falcons, I mean, they imploded after that.
They sure did.
And the Seahawks, exactly, you're exactly right. But to your point, that is truly the moment that Brady became the greatest of all time.
Like, I just felt like it wasn't even a debate. It was pretty clear that game right there set him apart from all others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But who was the best quarterback they beat? Probably Kurt Warner, 0-1, of those three, right? Russell Wilson and
Russell Wilson was damn good during that time.
Yeah, but it was he wasn't the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we're 14-point underdogs to that high-flying offense.
It's just
Mike
tough.
March.
The nostalgia around that game is just, for me, tough. I mean, how do you mess with 0-1?
Dude, you know what's funny? Belichick almost dismisses the 0-1 Super Bowl.
Like, he does?
Are you kidding me?
The 0-1?
Yeah. Oh, he talks about the 0-1 team like it was nothing. He which is amazing to me. It was because there were so many. There were still a lot of players from the old.
Oh, because Parcells guys.
But those Parcells guys playing. It's like 3 years before I get to implement what I want, and it was in my
UNC.
Huh?
Yeah, UNC.
UNC.
Right. UNC. Right. Right.
You might strangle Stiz by the
yeah.
end.
Oh, yeah. 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 So but I'm amazed because that 0-1 team was. If I'm a coach, that's my most proud season.
Right,
and Bill
sure.
Bill dismisses it. He doesn't even think it was that impressive.
How strange, man.
Weird.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. All right, 617-779-7937. We're not going anywhere. We're back in 2 minutes. And there was a comment from Wilson Contreras last night. Was it a shot at Roman Anthony? Because I got to be honest, I did not hear that clip until Stiz played it for us at the beginning of the show. And the more I think about it, the more you might be right. Let's play that here right when we get back. As I said, we're not going anywhere. 2 minutes, we'll be right back.